Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Jody E., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from California. Today is Wednesday, September 25th, 2024. Today we're reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 48, the fourth paragraph, starting with the prosaic steel girder. And we will read that whole paragraph, ending with, means nothing and proceeds nowhere. First the reference numbers. The share ID number for Tuesday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, that's September 24th, is 21,769. And the share ID number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, September 25th, is 21,771,21771. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Liz A. to read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning. This is Liz A., recovered compulsive overeater in California. These are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God, as praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you so much, Liz A. from California. I will now ask Nancy DM to read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Thank you. Hey, everyone. This is Nancy, compulsive eater and anorexic in Pennsylvania. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me do service today, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Nancy DM from Pennsylvania. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone may share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 48, paragraph 4. I will now ask Yvonne A. to begin reading for us.
Thank you, Jody. Good morning, everyone. This is Yvonne A. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from BC, Canada. The prosaic steel girder is a mass of electrons whirling around each other at incredible speed. These tiny bodies are governed by precise laws, and these laws hold true throughout the material world. Science tells us so. We have no reason to doubt it. When, however, the perfectly logical assumption is suggested that underneath the material world and life as we see it, there is an all-powerful, guiding, creative intelligence, right there our perverse streak comes to the surface and we laboriously set out to convince ourselves it isn't so. We read wordy books and indulge in windy arguments, thinking we believe this universe needs no God to explain it. Were our contentions true, it would follow that life originated out of nothing, means nothing, and proceeds nowhere. Well, this is an interesting paragraph because I absolutely am no scientist. I am in no position to try and convince even myself that these laws of nature and protons and electrons and atoms, all these things. I can't see them. I don't understand them. I have no idea how they work, but science says that they are there. Science says they work, and I have no reason to doubt that. And then, you know, it goes on and it says, but then somebody suggests to us that maybe there is and it's all capitalized, all-powerful, guiding, creative intelligence, so a higher power. And all of a sudden, you know, we become less willing to believe. And I still have that. I believe in a higher power. I absolutely do. What that looks like, I have no idea. No more than what I can tell you that all those little tiny molecular particles look like. I don't know what God looks like. I just know that it explains things that are otherwise beyond me. And it happens over and over and over again. It's not just these random one-time things that happen. And I have all kinds of examples in my own life. And yet it talks about our perverse streak. So when don't I believe in God? Well, I don't believe in God when I don't get what I want. When I want what I want and something different is happening. When I'm trying to exert my will and nothing is working out right. People are getting angry with me. Things are going very wrong. I'm making the situation even worse. When, you know, something that I believe, one of my beliefs, isn't lining up. Yeah, life isn't fair. I always thought life should be fair. Well, you know what? Life is not fair. And so then I move away from believing in that all-powerful, guiding, creative intelligence and believing in myself. And oh my goodness, absolutely, if I were in charge here, we may very well be living in this world that means nothing and proceeds nowhere. And that's actually one of the scariest lines in this book for me, actually, to think that this is all just random seems very scary. So I think, I don't know how long I've talked, but I think that's what I have to say. And with that, I'm going to pass.
Thank you so much, Yvonne A. That was very good timing. All right. I will now take a list of people who would like to share on that paragraph.
Barbara W.
Before I do, I will say, remind everybody that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So
Barbara
I got you, Barbara W.
W.
Okay, got you down. Who else
Bruce
would like
E.
to share? Bruce E. We're on the bottom of page 48, the prosaic steel girder.
Okay.
One paragraph.
Go ahead.
Someone else to wants to share?
I'm
besides Barbara
W.
and Bruce. Okay, go ahead, Barbara.
Well, me, I'm a compulsive overeater, and I do believe in God. Some people do, and some people just don't. But we all love one another, and we all are here for one tie, is to live the program of recovery. Now, the university and the intelligent and the scientist for me of God comes from God. God created the earth and he created everything here. And he put it in order and he put it in intelligence, okay, for me. And now that I'm older, I'm able to understand the creation of what the intelligence of God and the scientific that has came from men on this earth and God have used them to put things together, which I could never do. I could never put the things together that God had created through science, medicine, technology that we have on this earth. But I know it's all here to help us. It's here to help me. It's here to help us, help all of us. And some of us do go journey with it, and some of us just don't because some of us don't understand it all. But it's okay, because in time, everything comes together for all of us, because we are all one. But I know I'm learning so much about science that I didn't even know as going to school. I went to school, and I had science in school, and I could never understand how, until now, how it was put together. But God Almighty allowed men on this earth to put these things together. He gave them the knowledge to do it by going to school. So when we go to school and we go to OA and AA, we learn how to live in recovery, like with me. As I continue to stay connected, it's teaching me all about the big book. That big book is like a Bible to me. Everything in that book was written and was created for my being and all of us being, for me to have recovery in me and to learn how to live in this world that we are living in and be able to cope with everyday life, which is not always easy. But we have a gift. We have the people in the program that so dearly help each other, and that's the gift that we have for God. We have the gift of God. So I want to share that part because that is so awesome for me to see how God create things and intelligent, how he was so intelligent on this nation of helping us to be better people. Thanks for allowing me to share.
Thank you so much. Barbara W. from New Jersey. Bruce E., please go ahead.
Well, yes. Thank you. Thank you, everybody on the line. Thank you, Jody. Appreciate it. And yeah, I really like this reading a lot. I'm Bruce. I'm a recovered food addict in Fort Myers, Florida. And when, however, the perfectly logical assumption is suggested that underneath all the material world and life as we see it, there's an all-powerful guiding creative intelligence right there, perversely comes to the surface. Yeah, so I believe, I went for 38 years, and I didn't believe any of that, that there was a guiding, powerful, creative force behind everything. I did not believe that. You know, I was just totally, you know, had that perverse streak in me. And I wanted to always, I was convinced that just, it was just all here. And if man, you know, built a building, they built a building, but there was nothing behind any of it. And so that's the way I felt. Rather, I believe now, looking back on it, it was rather prideful of me. You know, there was a lot of ego in there, you know, thinking that, you know, there wasn't a God. You know, there wasn't a God behind everything. Their God didn't create anything, you know. And anyway, I believe that now, though, that there's all-powerful guiding creative intelligence right behind everything that's out there. And so I was also into this thing about we read wordy books and indulge in windy arguments, thinking we believe the universe needs no God. I drank the liquid sugar, right? I drank the Kool-Aid, I drank the liquid sugar, and then I could argue with people about thinking that there wasn't any God. You know, I mean, rather, you know, just rather prideful of me. And you know, I was thinking that that it, all of life originated out of nothing, means nothing, proceeds nowhere, you know. And I might have said, well, it goes somewhere, but, you know, there isn't anything, there isn't any creative divine intelligence behind any of it. I don't believe that way anymore. I've changed my whole attitude about all of that. And I've come to believe that a power greater than myself can restore me to sanity. You know, I mean, I had to have that. If I didn't have that, I wouldn't, I'd be as nutty as I was before down in the food, you know, and looking for food to meet all of my needs, looking for food to make me feel better, you know, looking for food to raise up the endorphins and the dopamine and all the chemicals in my brain that help me feel better. You know, that's what I was doing, you know. And I thank you, Jody, and I pass.
And I thank you, Bruce from Florida, Bruce E. So again, we're on page 48, the very last paragraph, the prosaic steel girder. Who would like to share?
Rachel L.
Rachel L.
Cheryl S.
Cheryl S.
Wendy M.
Wendy M. All right, we'll go with that group. Rachel L., Cheryl S., and Wendy M. Please go ahead, Rachel.
Hi, Rachel, compulsive overeater, San Diego, California. You know, for me, I'm a very big science buff. Like, you know, I'm very big into, like, you know, making sure, like, what means what, you know, proving points, you know, all of that kind of stuff. And someone sat me down and was like, you know, Rachel, you can't see the wind, but you know it's there. You know, you can't prove things, but you know things are, these are facts. And I was like, yeah, that's true. But, you know, there is some sort of force behind this God thing. It didn't just come out of nowhere. And I was like, yeah, you're right. So, like, someone told me, you know, I was like, what is God's will? What is God's will? And, like, you don't have to force it. When you're forcing something and it is fighting back for you, from you so freaking hard, that's not God's will. And I was like, wow, when it happens so easily and so smoothly, that's God's will. And I was like, wow, okay. So I just, you know, I'm really struggling lately these last 2 days. And I'm just really stressed out. So I'm just reminding myself that, you know, God's will, things will work out. And don't go to the food because that's not going to make it any better. And I know I got my OA family and my God squad and all that stuff. And I just need to reach out. And that's why I came on this meeting this morning, and I'm happy I did because I'm hearing all you beautiful people talk. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Rachel L. from California. Cheryl S., please share with us.
Thank you, Jody. This is Cheryl S. in Nevada, recovered compulsive overeater. And I was just kind of putting this paragraph into context. And for me, it goes back to the top of page 48, where it says, faced with alcoholic destruction, we soon became as open-minded on spiritual matters as we had tried to be on other questions. In this respect, alcohol was a great persuader. And then it goes on to talk about, okay, if you're still not persuaded, here's a couple of examples. And they talk about electricity and, you know, how we know there's electricity. Some people, of course, know exactly how electricity works, but most of us don't. And then on to the prosaic steel girder and electrons and that, you know, we trust that. But boy, when it comes back to, is there a God or is there a higher power? You know, we want to fight that tooth and nail. But I still go back to that first paragraph on page 48 about faced with alcoholic destruction and that alcohol was a great persuader. And I think just asking myself, was I faced with compulsive overeating destruction? And was it a great persuader for me? And yes, it was. You know, what other choice did I have? I had tried everything. I had tried absolutely everything, from my own power to outside power, you know, with pay and way programs, with not having the food in my house, so many things, you know, starting a diet in the morning, being off of it by lunch. I tried all those things and none of those things worked. So what other choice did I have? And when you have no choice, it makes this choice much, much easier, that's for sure. And I think that's when people talk about the gift of desperation. This is part of the gift of desperation. And I think the other thing that some people can be a barrier is, you know, I don't really have a personal relationship with electricity, nor do I have a personal relationship with the matter around me, like a steel girder or the wood that, you know, in my house, that kind of stuff. But I'm told I need a personal relationship with something that I probably can't ever understand. I can't see it. I can't feel it. I just have to trust. I just have to have faith that it's there. And I'm willing to do that if for no other reason than I have no other choice.
Fine.
Because this is what it tells me. Thank you, Jody. The book tells me that is it. That's the cure. That's recovery. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl S. from Nevada. Wendy M., please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. Thank you, Jody, for taking the meeting. Wonderful. So what comes up for me, I love the word perverse. I love that. A perverse streak, right? Like, which is, stubborn opposition. I refuse. I see myself like covering my ears and saying, I don't want to hear about it. And the thing that comes to me, and then laboriously set out to convince, right? I'm going to work really hard to show you that there not only is no higher power, but then I'm right on all matters, religion, politics, whatever. And so what I wrote down is, I refuse to get well. You can't make me get well. I refuse to be happy, joyous, and free. I refuse to be, in a healthy body way. I refuse to be helpful and make, and have a life that's youthful and happy, right? Like, no, I refuse. When it comes to this issue, even though I see all of you, recovered, I refuse. I refuse to be happy, to be well. And then what happens? And then the miracle happens, right? Like we get an open mind, right? We look at this world from a different angle. And this has been explosive for me lately. I used to fight a lot in relationships, right? Like a lot. And for whatever reason, God's like, we're going to open up your mind this time. Not just a partner, but everybody. We're going to open your mind. It's going to be a different angle. We will help you set aside everything you think you know about yourself, about God, right? And as somebody said, I think we said a little earlier, why wouldn't I want this thing? Like, why wouldn't I want happy, joyous, and free? Why wouldn't I want to be of maximum usefulness to my fellows? Because once you're in it, once that open mind gets opened, there's nothing like it. There is nothing like it. I am not the same person I was even 6 months ago. I'm a different person. God is working through me all the time. And you know how great that feels? It turns out, what is it? Ease and comfort used to be the food. Now ease and comfort is God. Right? Like, why wouldn't I want conscious contact with God? And I experience God all the time. I don't know that I believe in God, but I experience God constantly, all the time. And it says on page 27, these ideas, right? These ideas, the guiding forces of our lives are now cast to one side.
Fine.
Completely cast to one side in new conceptions, new ideas. And thank you, God, for the open mind. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Wendy M. from Colorado. Okay, we are on page 48, the prosaic steel girder. And we're reading just that one paragraph. Who would like to share?
Sherry F.
Jerry S. Anyone else? Now's your chance. Maybe you rarely share. We'd love to hear new voices. Press star 1 to unmute.
I'll share Nancy D.
Nancy D. Who else? All right. We'll go with Sherry S. and Nancy D. Please go ahead, Sherry.
Hi, this is Sherry F. in Idaho. Just thought this was a good paragraph to comment on, gave me some thoughts this morning. I've been in this vision group for about a year now, but I've been in OA for about 7 years. Anyways, I really did experience a miracle this year, had the desire for sugar taken away. It's been great. When it says, you know, we have no visual proof, I've been struggling a little bit just because I have not, you know, I've lost a little bit of weight. I haven't completely stopped eating compulsively, and I've come to that, you know, realization that probably eating a little bit too much at meals and sometimes a little snacking, and that those are things that, you know, are facts, and I'm trying to kind of face that today. And but along those same lines, I'm trying to remember, as we say here in the paragraph, that the results are not all visual, right? What we see is not the proof. And I have to say that this program has changed so much for me inwardly. It has changed my relationship with others, myself, life. And doing my amends especially really helped me just see things that I definitely would never have seen about other people and my relationships with other people. And all the time now, as I'm, you know, making my food plan or I'm attending a meeting or something like that, people end up watching me or asking me about it. And I just know that this program, it works. It really does work. It changes your outlook on everything. And I'm learning to trust God more on, you know, submitting my food plan and allowing life to proceed in between those meals. I'm so grateful for a food sponsor. I'm so grateful for people on this line. And I'm actually really thankful to be sponsoring now, because it really, really helps me stay in the program and stay, you know, stay connected with God and what I can give to other people. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Sherry F. in Idaho. Nancy D., please go ahead.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. Who's next up?
Nancy D.
Okay, perfect. This is Nancy D. from New Jersey. I wasn't going to share, but I just felt inspired to. And I've been in the fellowship, well, my daughter's 42, so 95% of that time I've been in the fellowship. And so I've never had really a challenge about the spiritual aspects of the program. I am in a place currently where my higher power is taking me to a state of surrender, and it's pretty scary. You know, as much as I'm immersed in my spiritual life and have been for many, many years, the fellowship is teaching me, I mean, it's sort of guiding me into this place of surrender and to really getting into healing of some core issues. And as I was sitting here listening to everyone, I realized that I was sort of in a meditative state, that it's very core, my desire to eat. There's something very, very core about it. You know, it goes wherever it started, it goes back really far into my childhood. And that is just something I'm turning over, you know. Like, if that could be lifted, that would be sensational. And so the one thing I think my higher power is guiding me to share is about my meditation practice, because for as long as I've been in the fellowship, I've always meditated for an hour every day, and just believe that we need time to immerse ourselves in
relationship with God, you know, his presence, sitting in his presence. And, you know, one of the things they talk about in my church is that we want a relationship with God, a personal relationship with God. And I hear everybody sharing on that, and that's so beautiful. I hear people trusting in their higher power, and that's the magic of OA, is that we don't know how it's working, but it's working. And we have these principles and these steps and the fellowship. And as long as we sort of walk the walk, we have this sense that there is a power helping us get recovered and lead our lives differently. So I just want to thank everybody for being here. And everybody's very inspiring today. And I wish you all a blessed day.
Thank you so much. Nancy D. from New Jersey. So we have time for more shares, and we are talking about the prosaic steel girder, bottom of page 48. And we're talking about our agnosticism, our faith. Who would like to share?
Joan Marie M. from Nevada.
Joan Marie M. from Nevada. Anyone else?
Pamela C. from Torrance, California.
Pamela C. And who else?
This is Kat G. from California.
Okay. Great. Let's go with those three. Joan Marie, Pamela, and Kat. Please go ahead, Joan Marie.
Good morning. Thank you for everyone's share. Am I being heard? Hello? I guess I am. Okay. So what sticks out to me, what struck me the most in this paragraph is all-powerful. So what we lack is power. So where do we get this power? From a power greater than ourselves. Okay, guiding. The steps guide us to this power greater than ourselves, and guides us into how to live a life that is beautiful in every sense. Not that things don't happen. Right now I'm facing something drastic with my son's health, but I just have such peace about it, because I believe in this power, this God of the universe, a creative intelligence. He's an all-knowing, all-loving God to me, guides me. If I asked him, if I have that personal relationship with him, personal meaning to me, that if I listen, I pray, I do the two-way prayer, I write it out, and then I write the response. And it's always encouraging. Sometimes there's correction, but it's never to destroy or to beat me down. It's always uplifting. This is the next best step, Joan Marie. Follow these instructions. And I just thank you so much that it's good, orderly directions. If I listen, I have to ask, first of all, then I have to listen. I'm so grateful for this program. I am Joan Marie M., recovered in Nevada by the grace and the power of God. I can't take any credit for this. It was a miracle. I could not stop. So with that, I pass. If you're new, keep on listening. Keep on listening. Get that sponsor that'll guide you through these steps into a power greater than yourself. Okay, I said I'm past. I really am this time. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Joan Marie M. from Nevada. Pamela C., please go ahead. Pamela C., press star 1 to unmute.
Hi, this is Pamela C. from Southern California, and compulsive overeater. I really enjoy and really need this part of the book. I mean, all of it obviously is very important, but this part especially because I get, you know, very angry with God, you know, not often anymore, but I question a lot, and I think that's a better word for it, is I question God, why? And, you know, the more we cover this book, you know, it's little by little, grow. Oh, you know, the reason that God isn't working in your life sometimes is because you're not letting him way. And I have free will, you know, by God's grace, and he's not going to force anything on me. So I find I get much more peace, much more comfort, and just easy feeling when I just, okay, God, I don't know what to do. I give it to you and then just, you know, move on. And inevitably the answer comes, usually not in the way I thought it would, but always in a better way. And yeah, I mean, I have proof. I have proof there's a God. I've seen it in my life. You know, when I look back, so many miracles, stopping certain things suddenly, you know, in another program, and getting my life back together when I couldn't do it myself. That power does not come from me, that's for sure. And, you know, I don't know what God looks like. I don't know if God looks like anything, but I just know that he loves each one of us more than we could, you know, our human minds could imagine. And I believe that's the reason we're all here in recovery and learning from one another. You know, God, every one of you has a piece of my higher power, and you speak to me. He speaks to me through you. That's where I get, you know, I don't have any original ideas or original thoughts. You know, that comes from you guys and in program and sharing with me. So, I really enjoy this part of the book. It just keeps me grounded, keeps my ego a little more smashed. That's it. I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Pamela C. from California and Kat G. from California, please share.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for letting me share. I just wanted to say that when I read chapter, it reminds me of the beauty of the universe and how if our earth just shifts slightly on this axis, you know, it would fall out of the sky, or gravity, and how it, without it, we'd be floating endlessly. And all these things that we can't explain, but that we believe, and yet we try to talk ourselves out of something as simple as what happens in our life, or allowing God to work in our life. We'd rather place our belief in something with visual proof. And, you know, in the previous chapter, we learned that visual proof isn't any indication of something being real. I recall thinking that getting to a certain number on the scale was going to make everything else okay, and it didn't. Yet it was visual proof that I had lost weight, that I was maybe within a normal range, but there was so much that was hidden that was you couldn't see, that was going on in my mind and in my heart, that I was worse off than I was when I was heavier. But visually, everything looked okay, and that wasn't the case. And we can't even sometimes put our faith in things that we can see because they're not necessarily true. And why do we try to talk ourselves out of things as, you know, believing in God's provision for us? And so much of this world does it these days with, you know, do what feels good, do it your way, do what makes you happy. And, you know, it makes me really sad for the generations that are growing up and for my grandchildren. And I used to wonder why I was born during this time. It would have been easier to be born in a simpler time. But I think God put us here for a purpose, because through our struggles, we're reaching out to him on a daily basis, and he's equipping us to be the light for other people in this darkness. And that's what I think OA is. It's a group of light bulbs. Anyway, thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much. Kat G. from California. Would someone like to take a quick share, a minute and a half or so?
Vanessa G.
Go ahead, Vanessa. I got Vanessa G. Thank you, Vanessa.
Hi, everybody. This is Vanessa G., recovered in New Mexico. You know, prosaic and concrete. You know, the opposite is often referred to as poetry, prose versus poetry. And all I can say is that the program of these 12 steps and the words that I hear on this line and the thoughts that or the inspiration that comes to me during my prayer and meditation time, it's sheer poetry. I possibly don't know exactly what lies behind all of it, but I do know that my faith or my belief is probably the most important thing for me, my experience and my trust in both your words and the inspiration I receive from my higher power as a result of going through these steps, the clarity and the power and the strength and the comfort, sheer poetry. Thank you very much, all of you, for bringing that to me on a daily basis in this meeting. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Vanessa G., very much for your share. All right, that's about all the time we have for sharing. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Shelley E. please read our closing?
Yes, ma'am. Good morning, my fellows. I'm Shelley E., a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Arlington, Texas. The Big Book, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. Stay to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you for listening.